That last song was Drive by Maya Q, the Will Hoffbauer remix. And this song currently is Didn't I by Kofi. I learned this song from Michael Kaiser. Shout out, Michael. Again, this song is fantastic.
You're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh.
Murderous style. She done dead already. Move ya.
Sorry, I was going to end the show, but I forgot to say goodbye to all the beautiful listeners out there. Thank you for tuning in to Liquid Means Rewind with special guest Lexi. Do you got anything else to say?
Thank you for listening.
That's what's up. Have a good night, Pittsburgh. Get home safe. Peace.
Win back my vote. Okay. Your action and maybe inaction during your presidency and the last few years was a little disturbing to me. You know, what happened during January 6th and the fact that, you know, you waited so long to take action while your supporters were attacking the Capitol. Coronavirus, I thought the public was misled during coronavirus, and that many more lives could have been saved if we would have been informed better. And also people in your administration who don't support you. I'm curious how people so close to you and your administration no longer want to support you, so why would I want to support you? If you would answer these questions for me, I would really appreciate it and give you the opportunity. There's, you know, your own vice president doesn't want to support you now.
Thank you, Ramiro. So the people that don't support a very small portion, we have a tremendous, about 97% of the people in the administration support me. But because it's me, somebody doesn't support, they get a little publicity. The vice president, I disagree with him on what he did. I totally disagreed with him on what he did. Very importantly, you had hundreds of thousands of people come to Washington. They didn't come because of me. They came because of the election. They thought the election was a rigged election, and that's why they came. Some of those people went down to the Capitol. I said, peacefully and patriotically, nothing done wrong at all, nothing done wrong. And action was taken, strong action. Ashley Babbitt was killed. Nobody was killed. There were no guns down there. We didn't have guns. The others had guns, but we didn't have guns.
We didn't have guns. In case it wasn't clear, the we he is there referring to is the insurrectionists and him. The quote others that he refers to with guns are the police officers who defended the United States Capitol that day, and Mike Pence, and all the Republican members of the House and the Senate. So now, 19 days ago, Donald Trump is saying out loud what has been investigated through a congressional probe and the Department of Justice, a lot of that revealed in the body of evidence developed by those investigators, that the violent mob that stormed the U.S. Capitol was part of Trump's own plan to overturn his defeat on January 6th, and that mob was indeed armed. They did have guns. We had guns, Donald. And he knew that before he sent them to the Capitol. Here's Cassidy Hutchinson.
So, Ms. Hutchinson, is it your understanding that Mr. Ornato told the president about weapons at the rally on the morning of January 6th?
That's what Mr. Ornato relayed to me.
But when we were in the offstage announced tent, I was part of a conversation. I was in the vicinity of a conversation where I overheard the president say something to the effect of, you know, I don't effing care that they have weapons. They're not here to hurt me. Take the effing mags away. Let my people in. They can march to the Capitol from here. Let the people in. Take the effing mags away.
It was a mystery for a while, right? How did he know that? They're not here to hurt me. Quote, let my people in. Now we know. We didn't have guns, he says. 19 days to Election Day, and Trump is telling voters the people who attacked the Capitol were part of a we. They were on his side, and he is on theirs still. It brings us to another stunning development today. A new book by Associated Press Washington Bureau Chief Michael Tackett reveals this, quote, Mitch McConnell said after the 2020 election that then-President Donald Trump was, quote, stupid, as well as being ill-tempered, a, quote, despicable human being, and a, quote, narcissist. And he said all that. That's when Mitch McConnell let Donald Trump before the insurrection. More from the AP. Privately, McConnell said in his oral history that, quote, it's not just the Democrats who are counting the days until Trump left office, and that Trump's behavior only underscores the good judgment of the American people. They've had just enough of the misrepresentations, the outright lies, almost on a daily basis. And they fired him. And for a narcissist like him, McConnell continued, that's been really hard to take. And so his behavior since the election has been even worse by far than it was before, because he has no filter now at all. Now, before those Georgia runoffs, McConnell said Trump is, quote, stupid, as well as being ill-tempered and can't even figure out where his own best interests lie. Like we said, in a normal world, that would be a thunderclap, enough to completely derail a political campaign, a candidate leading a political party. So when we say that's not what it is anymore, this is an example that proves that out. An admission that you're on the side of the violent extremists who attacked the U.S. Capitol, and the number one Republican in the Senate calling you, quote, stupid, quote, despicable, and, quote, a narcissist. All that happened in the last 24 hours. Should be devastating, again, to a politician, someone seeking to run the government. But we live in a world where the GOP has splintered in two, rather violently. On one side, a robust authoritarian movement that demands you toss your views aside or become an outcast. People like Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger. Case in point, Mitch McConnell now supports the man he described in his own words in something called a personal oral history as stupid and despicable. His words on a tape recording he made and shared with a reporter. And on the other side, a small but growing group of disaffected Republicans and independent-minded voters. That split, particularly when it applies to January 6th and Donald Trump's disdain for the hallmarks of democracy, has given Vice President Kamala Harris an unprecedented opportunity and opening that she is seizing on with Republicans and independents.
Well, now, look who's coming to dinner.
Thank you, thank you. Good evening, rich people. I gotta be honest, I feel like I'm at a casting call for Daddy Warbucks. And I'm not gonna get the job. Welcome, Your Eminence, President Trump, First Lady, random millionaires who are not yet billionaires. Welcome to the 79th annual Al Smith Memorial Dinner. As you can, please give it up. Yes. As you can see how we're dressed, the theme again is let them eat cake. Now, I understand some of you may recognize me as the guy who plays Tim Walz on SNL. But I want you to know that I'm going to be fair and balanced tonight, and I'm going to make jokes about both Donald Trump and J.D. Vance. Now, I'd be remiss if I didn't address the elephant in the room. You know, you're all thinking about it. Let me just cut to the point and point out who's not here. And of course, I'm talking about the middle class. That filthy group of people. Right, Chuck? Do you know what I'm talking about? Can we have a round of applause for Chuck Schumer? Right? See, he does like being near microphones. Now, but seriously, this is a special night, people. This is the one night when Republicans and Democrats who used to be Republican and Republicans who used to be Democrats and independents and whatever Michael Bloomberg is now, we can, there he is, he's up there. I love how the front row doesn't even look at me. See what I mean? Like, do those seats cost more? How much does it cost to not have to look at Gaffigan? That's my Bloomberg impression. I don't know about you. I think this is exciting. This is very exciting, right? We are 19 days until the election and likely a civil war. And, you know, I'm nervous. You know what I mean? It's like, this is my first Civil War, guys. I don't own a musket. Have we decided who's wearing blue and who's wearing gray? Because I look better in blue because of my eyes, you know? But, of course, let's acknowledge our host for the evening, the Archbishop of New York, Timothy Michael Cardinal Dolan. Timothy Michael Cardinal Dolan. You know, I tell you, as the father of five, saying that name feels like I'm trying to get my kids to come to dinner. Timothy Michael Cardinal Dinner. My wife and I, we do have three boys, and I hope our son Cardinal doesn't feel too much pressure to become a priest. Full disclosure, Cardinal Dolan is also a friend of mine, and I would never put him on the spot, but Cardinal Dolan, I'm curious. The Pope did say that this election is a choice between the lesser of two evils. And so, two-part question. One, do you agree? And two, who's more evil? All right, I'll come back to you. This, of course, is a Catholic event honoring Governor Al Smith, who in 1928 was the first Catholic to run on a major party. To put that in perspective, in 1928, Chuck Schumer was a first-term senator. Thanks for sitting here, Chuck. Of course, Joe Biden was our second Catholic president, right? After JFK, President Biden couldn't be here tonight. The DNC made sure of that. I guess I'm the only one that reads history. But this is a Catholic event. I'm Catholic. Any Catholics here? Yeah. They're yelling because it's hard to clap when you're holding a cocktail. Right. You know, if I could, I'd like to talk about my faith for a moment. Personally, I am Catholic because I truly believe that's what my wife wants. In a way, she is my higher power and definitely a punishing God. Yeah. It's true. I was raised Catholic, but I am Catholic today because of my wife. And she didn't pressure me. She just said, this is what you believe now. And, you know, it wasn't like the Spanish Inquisition. There was an implied convert or die. My beautiful wife, Jeannie, is here with us tonight. She's not sitting on the dais. She's sitting out there with all those losers that are only millionaires. You know, it's like pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Right, Chuck? Right. Yeah. Today is a special day. Today, my wife Jeannie and I are celebrating our 21st wedding anniversary. Thank you. Thank you. We're not. That's a lie. But being on a dais filled with politicians, journalists, and business people, I felt obligated to tell a lie. You know, I didn't want them to feel out of place. Besides, I don't know when our anniversary is. You know, this event has been referred to as the Catholic Met Gala. 22% of Americans identify as Catholic. Catholics will be a key demographic in every battleground state. I'm sorry, why is Vice President Harris not here? I mean, consider this. This is a room full of Catholics and Jews in New York City. This is a layup for the Democratic nominee. I mean, in her defense, I mean, she did find time to appear on The View, Howard Stern, Colbert, and the longtime staple of campaigning, the Call Her Daddy podcast. You know what I think it is? I think she doesn't like me. Chuck, do I have bad breath? You know, but I love New York City. I believe that this city is the greatest city on earth. I do believe that. I have lived here for 35 years. I'm raising my children here, which is not for everyone. Sometimes a friend from home will ask, like, why are you raising your children in New York City? And I always say the same thing, because I don't want them to end up like you. We've raised all five of our children in downtown Manhattan, and I can honestly tell you, it was a mistake. I don't know if you remember, but there was a time when you could walk a city block and not smell pot. You know? And don't get me wrong, I love driving an hour and a half to Randall's Island to watch my son play soccer for 20 minutes. Of course, New York City is where Donald Trump was raised, right? And he turned out great. Yet New York is a state that Donald Trump statistically has little chance to win. You know? Who says you can't go home again? Apparently, 20 million people. You know? We should not, but you know, let's not let this dais of dignitaries dress like, you know, background actors on Downton Abbey distract from the significant achievement we've made tonight. I mean this in all sincerity. The money that we've raised tonight is significant and will have a positive impact. You know? And after we pressure Mike Bloomberg to give more money, we will break $10 million. $10 million. Everyone look at Michael Bloomberg and tell him he should give more money. $10 million is pretty impressive, you know what I mean? I mean, granted, it could get you a studio apartment in Manhattan, which seems, you know, expensive, especially considering you can get a mayor for two business class flights. I didn't think we had borders anymore. All right, let's go positive here. Can we have a round of applause for First Lady Melania Trump? Who presently has the number one book in America. Yeah. And you know, by the way, Jesus taught us to forgive seven times, not seven times, but 70 times seven. And Melania, you may be the first person to actually reach that. What's that? Oh, well, she surpassed it. Congratulations. You know, looking at this impressive dais of attendees up here, I never know how to address you people. Do you prefer, you know, global elite or coastal elite? You know, I mean, I know we live in sensitive times and I don't want to mislabel anyone. I'm personally excited to be up here, and not just because you make me look young and principled. You know, this seating arrangement is weird, right? I mean, it looks like the plutocrats are about to play Family Feud. And the survey says, whatever you want. This dais, actually, let's be honest, this entire room is filled with some of the most powerful people in New York City and Brian Kilmeade. Remember, Brian, I told you. Brian and I started doing stand-up together, so we're friends, hopefully. You know, because this room is, I'm glad you guys have a sense of humor about this, because this room is undeniably impressive. It really is. The prestige, the wealth, the allegations. I mean, wow. And don't feel bad if you don't have any allegations yet, okay? Which reminds me, Letitia James is here. She had a great year. She's just back there watching all of you. She's watching. By the way, can I point out that this is a very nimble thing that I'm trying to do, Brian? Because if I am too critical of Vice President Harris, I will lose friendships and, you know, and mess up my career. And if I am too critical of President Trump, I will lose friendships and improve my career. You know what I mean? We have an amazing, by the way, RFK Jr. is here. Welcome, sir. RFK Jr. He, of course, is going to make America, he's part of the MAGA, Make America Healthy Again, right? I don't know if he's seen what Donald Trump eats, but Donald Trump eats like, well, me and the Cardinal, okay? And Anyway. Now the prompter guy. I went off book a little bit here. So, anyway, I'd like to also welcome Mayor Adams, brought to you by Turkish Airlines. I was told to say that. It's a sponsorship deal, people. You know, we have a lot of formers on the dais tonight, all right? Former mayors, former governors, former respected journalists. Is there any other kind, really? Now, I understand some people may have an issue with a journalist appearing on a dais hobnobbing with the rich and powerful. It would appear like a clear conflict of interest, and that's because it absolutely is. Look, the days of Walter Cronkite are gone. Most journalists have their own TikTok. You know, President Trump regularly appears on a show called Fox and Friends. That's not a mistake. He's their best friend. Former Mayor Bloomberg is here. Mayor Bloomberg, you're going to close that deal on bringing us to 10 million. Can you just not an agreement, sir? Okay. Now, by the way, there are rumors that Mayor Bloomberg is planning to run for mayor. I don't know if that's true. Quick question, Mayor Bloomberg. When you buy an election, do you put it on a credit card so you can get the points? Because that's what I would do. I already did the RFK joke, so. The one thing that I was going to say is that I feel like Donald Trump, you know, make America healthy again. I feel like Donald Trump would probably be less loyal to RFK than he would be to KFC. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I think the rank of Colonel Sanders. Some of these I wrote during lunch. Woody Johnson is here tonight, owner of the New York Jets, heir to the Johnson & Johnson pharmaceutical fortune. You know, in divisive times, sir, you are a shining example, okay? If the head of Johnson & Johnson can sign an unvaxxed quarterback, maybe there is hope for this country. All right? Not only is Woody Johnson here, Robert Kraft, owner of the New England Patriots, is here. Welcome. By the way, as we know, they are bitter rivals on the football field. But here tonight, they're here for the same reason. Billionaires supporting Trump. It's really beautiful. We are 19 days from the election. This presidential election, it's been different, right? I mean, it's crazy because there's no Russian interference, no Facebook. It's crazy. It's being left up to American voters and four billionaires. The Cardinal wrote that joke. There is one group that baffles me, and I think it baffles most everyone in this country, and I'm talking about the undecided voter. Are you kidding me? I mean, are you kidding me? You don't know who you're voting for? You don't see a difference between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump. Like, nobody has ever thought, wait, is that a Trump quote or a Harris quote? The media has begun discussing the phenomena of secret Trump voters. I don't know if you've heard about this. People who publicly say they would never vote for Trump, but then when they go in the voting booth, they do. It's a small group. They're called the Biden family. You know, I think we'd all agree that, you know, we live in divided times, and whoever is elected in November, I hope they establish an initiative to heal the divide that exists in this country. And I have a great name for this. It could be called Project 2025. It has a nice truck. Do you like it? Okay. Our first presentation tonight will be by Vice President Kamala Harris, okay? You have to admit, the Democrats have done an amazing job rebranding Vice President Harris, right? The term joyful warrior was used so many times at the Democratic convention, I felt like I was at a yoga retreat. Let's start off in a joyful warrior pose. And then go straight into downward facing Doug Emhoff. Good. Now laugh uncontrollably. Remember to breathe. Vice President Harris's trajectory has been astounding. In just the course of a couple months, she went from mediocre vice president to everyone's mamala. This is, of course, a historic race for many reasons, right? If Vice President Harris wins this election, not only would she be the first female president, a black woman would occupy the White House, a former Trump resident. Obviously, you wouldn't be renting to her. I mean, that would never happen anyway. Maybe if Doug did the signing. All right. That one didn't work. Yeah, this has been an interesting presidential campaign. The Democrats have been telling us Trump's re-election is a threat to democracy. In fact, they were so concerned of this threat, they staged a coup, ousted their democratically elected incumbent, and installed Kamala Harris. In other words, all her dreams have come true. Really? It really makes you consider the power of prayer, right, Cardinal? Sometimes prayers take 3.5 years and a George Clooney op-ed. Yeah. I don't know who's angry, but I don't care. But Vice President Harris did have a scheduling conflict, but was generous enough to send us this video. Let's take a look.
Your Eminence and distinguished guests, the Al Smith dinner provides a rare opportunity to set aside partisanship.
Cool. Oh, sorry.
Hey, what's going on? Who was that?
Oh, sorry, Mary Catherine Gallagher. Mary Catherine Gallagher, it's so nice to meet you.
Very nice to meet you, Mary Catherine. Right now I'm trying to record my speech for tonight's dinner.
Oh, yeah, I know. I just want to say that I'm Catholic, and tonight is one of the biggest dinners next to the Last Supper.
It is a very important dinner, and it's an important tradition that I'm so proud to be a part of.
Sometimes when I get nervous, I stick my fingers under my arms, and I smell them like that. But that's gross.
So tell me something. I'm giving a speech. Do you have some thoughts about what I might say tonight?
My feelings about what you should say tonight would be best expressed in a monologue from one of my favorite made-for-TV series.
Okay, let's hear it.
Don't you see, man? We need a woman to represent us. A woman brings more heart, more compassion. And think how smart she must be to become a top contender in a field dominated by men. It's time for a woman, bro. And with this woman, we can fly.
What series was that from?
Oh, that's from House of Dragons, now streaming on HBO Max.
Is there anything that you think that maybe I shouldn't bring up tonight?
Well, don't lie. Thou shalt not bear false witness to thy neighbor.
Indeed, especially thy neighbor's election results.
Just so you know, there will be a fact checker there tonight.
Oh, that's great. Who?
Jesus. And maybe don't say anything negative about Catholics.
I would never do that, no matter where I was. That would be like criticizing Detroit in Detroit.
Does it bother you that Trump guy insults you all the time? Because it really bothers my friends and me.
Oh, Mary Catherine, it's very important to always remember you should never let anyone tell you who you are. You tell them who you are.
Haters gonna hate. Shake it off.
Shake it off.
Shake it off.
Shake it off. Good for you, Mary Catherine.
Oh, yeah, okay. And also remember one more thing. Don't worry if you make a mistake, because Catholic people are very forgiving. Yeah, and also one last thing I want to tell you. Don't forget to say superstar.
Thank you, Mary Catherine.
Thank you, Mamala.
Thank you. Your Eminence and distinguished guest, the Al Smith Dinner provides a rare opportunity to set aside partisanship and come together to do some good by supporting the tremendous charitable work of the Catholic Church. The Church cares for the sick and feeds the hungry, supports families with housing and education, and in times of disaster, provides not only essential supplies, but also, and so importantly, a sense of hope. The Gospel of Luke tells us that faith has the power to shine a light on those living in darkness and to guide our feet in the path of peace. In the spirit of tonight's dinner, let us recommit to reaching across divides to seek understanding and common ground. And in honor of the great Al Smith, let us fight to build a better future with faith in God, our country, and in each other. Thank you. May God bless you. And may God bless the United States of America.
I don't even know what that noise you're making is. I don't know. As I watched that, I couldn't help but think of now I know how my kids felt when I FaceTimed into a piano recital they were at.
Tradition holds that I'm supposed to tell a few self-deprecating jokes this evening. So here it goes. Nope. I've got nothing. I've got nothing. There's nothing to say. I guess I just don't see the point of taking shots at myself when other people have been shooting at me for a hell of a long time and they shoot at me. But I know this isn't my normal crowd tonight because it just isn't. It's not my normal crowd. Believe me, my normal crowd is younger, has a lot more energy. But you have certain advantages too, like cash, lots of cash. But many of you are Manhattan liberals from the media and the Democrat Party. I always say the Democrat, you know, Chuck doesn't like that. He likes Democratic. And it sounds much more beautiful, the Democratic Party. I always say the Democrat Party because it sounds worse. It is true. He likes Democratic. Why don't they just change the name? This way, you know, it is Democrat. But I must say I was shocked when I heard that Kamala was skipping the Al Smith dinner. I'd really hoped that she would come because we can't get enough of hearing her beautiful laugh. She laughs like crazy. We would recognize it any place in this room, and all polls are indicating I'm leading big with the Catholic vote, as I should be. But I don't think Kamala has given up yet. She hasn't. Instead of attending tonight, she's in Michigan receiving communion from Gretchen Whitmer. That's not a pretty sight. But Catholics, please don't be too insulted by Kamala's absence. If the Democrats, he says, thank you very much, I appreciate it. If Democrats really wanted to have someone not be with us this evening, they would have just sent Joe Biden. You know, he's having second thoughts, you know that, right? He wants to come back. If she does any worse in the polls, they're going to bring him back again, I think. Chuck, he's going to do it. He's the one that got him out. That's the guy. Much more so than Crazy Nancy, I will tell you. Because I know him. He did it. Joe has almost disappeared from view. The only way he could be seen less is if he had a show on CNN. They had nothing. They've got nothing. Fake news, right? Fake. Someone in the White House who can barely talk, barely put together two coherent sentences, who seems to have mental faculties of a child, it's sad. There's a person that has nothing going, no intelligence whatsoever, but enough about Kamala Harris. Let's get on to something else.
I know Kamala's word because she spends a lot of time complaining. I won't agree to another debate. But the truth is, I've debated twice this year, once against Joe Biden and once against David Muir of ABC. It's been a long tradition for both Democrat and Republican candidates for president of the United States to attend this dinner. Always, it's a rule. You got to go to the dinner. You got to do it. Otherwise, bad things are going to happen to you from up there. You can't do what I just saw on that screen. But my opponent feels like she does not have to be here, which is deeply disrespectful. I never liked people that I was competing against. When you do, a lot of bad things happen. And we are doing well. By the way, the votes are starting to come in. You got to get out and vote. And Catholics, you got to vote for me. Just remember. You better remember I'm here. And she's not. I could have done that, too. But you do something that's incredible, that Catholic Church, you're helping the poor, educating children, and supporting the vulnerable. But if you really wanted Vice President Harris to accept your invitation, I guess you should have told her the funds were going to bail out the looters and rioters in Minneapolis, and she would have been here guaranteed. She would have been here. Guaranteed. The last Democrat not to attend this important event was Walter Mondale. And it did not go very well for him. He lost 49 states and he won one, Minnesota. So I said, there's no way I'm missing it. Actually, it was not easy for me to get here tonight. Cardinal, I wasn't going to miss this thing. You know, matter, I didn't care. I wasn't going to miss it. But that's true. Walter Mondale, 49-1. He was expected to do well. And it didn't work out. It shows you there is a God. I mean, for those people that are questioning it. I understand the real reason that she's not here is she's hunting with her running mate, spending a lot of time hunting. In any event, it's a weird. You know the word weird. They call me weird. They call JD weird. We're very solid people. This guy is calling us weird, but this was weird that the Democrat candidate is not here and with us tonight. Senator Schumer, good. Yeah, I supported him. I was, I don't know. He used to say that's true, and now I'm not sure he would, but I gave him his first check from an office in Beach Haven, and I was very proud of it. I don't know about lately. Chuck Schumer is here looking very glum. Doesn't he look glum? He looks glum. But look on the bright side, Chuck, considering how woke your party has become. If Kamala loses, you still have a chance to become the first woman president. And I actually said, do you mind if I do that? He said, no, you got to do what you got to do. He's a pro. He's a professional. No, he's a good man, actually. I hate to say it. Don't ever use it against me, please. I'll say this dinner was really setting me back when I say it, but I've known him a long time. There's a group called White Dudes for Harris. Have you seen this? White Dudes for Harris. Anybody know? Are some of you here? White Dudes for Harris. Doesn't sound like it. But I'm not worried about them at all because their wives and their wives' lovers are all voting for me. I didn't like Biden very much, and now I like him quite a bit. You know, it's... And now I say that she's much worse than him. He was a much better candidate than her, actually. And when we hopefully win, dispose of her, I like her a lot. But right now, I can't stand her. It's true. I can't stand her. A lot of people don't like it. The only piece of advice I would have for her in the event that she wins would be not to let her husband, Doug, anywhere near the nannies. Just keep him away. That's a nasty one. That's nasty. I told these idiots that gave me this stuff, that's too tough. Oh, I did, you know, they told me the last time I did this, I was running against Crooked Hillary. And, I mean Hillary. No, I was running against Crooked Hillary and I did it, and I thought it was a roast. So I was told it's a roast. And I had the meanest guy you've ever seen write stuff up, and Man, was the room angry. Even the cardinal remembers. I went overboard. Don't you agree, cardinal? It was, like, terrible. And I knew I was in trouble around midway through because, you know, people had not, even my own side was angry at me. They were saying, it's too much. But I did it anyway. I didn't give it any. I'd like to thank our MC this evening, Jim Gaffigan. Most recently, Jim has been playing Tim Walz on Saturday Night Live. And that'll be a very short gig, I hope, Jim. But it was fun while it lasted, wasn't it? Let's see how that lasts, right? It better be quick. We don't want him, and you know, I'm not going to say anymore. But unfortunately, Governor Walz isn't here himself, but don't worry, he'll say that he was. He's going to say he was. I used to think the Democrats were crazy for saying that men have periods, but then I met Tim Walz. The stupid show, The View, is so bad now that the other day I was watching it and thinking to myself, you know what? They really need to bring Rosie O'Donnell back. That show is bad. Those people are bad. I know every one of them, and they are bad news, I want to tell you.
This Alfred Smith dinner last night at the Catholic fundraiser that they were having. And, you know, it seems like one of Trump's biggest campaigns issue is this show. Watch this.
The stupid show, The View, is so bad now that the other day I was watching it and thinking to myself, you know what? They really need to bring Rosie O'Donnell back. That show is bad. Those people are bad. I know every one of them, and they are bad news, I want to tell you. And it doesn't do very well either. I always like to say, you know, ratings are very important. When they don't do well, it doesn't do very well.
Anyway, I think he's met all of us except Sonny.
Hell no.
In fact, she's the only one.
No. Reading, but I gotta tell you, I've lived 52 years, I've lived 44 years in this country. I have never shaken that man's hand, I've never given him a kiss, I've never watched his show, I've never bought any of his crappy products, and I never voted for him.
No.
But wait a second. She's the only prosecutor he has never met.
That's probably true.
More specific.
Although the interesting thing is, I have seen him and he has seen me, so we have met because I covered his trial.
He watches our show. He's seen all of us.
Okay. Also, I would just like to note we are number one in daytime over the last 4 years, so the ratings are fine. But this also cracked me up because after he came after you recently, he apparently came after me on a podcast and said he didn't know me, he never met me, despite that I worked for him. Yeah. And then now he's saying he knows me, which gets back to my point. I think he's slowing down. I really think. And he doesn't know he's never actually met these three.
You think he's failing a little bit?
He's losing it. But you know what? Isn't it such an enjoyable thing to live rent-free in his head?
Yeah.
I mean, we live rent-free in this man's head.
It's a scary place to be. I enjoy it.
And I enjoy that he has admitted now at least 3 to 4 times that he watches the show.
Thank you, Donald. Hi. I will tell you...
The part I loved about yesterday was Kamala Harris at that rally in Wisconsin.
Show the clip.
Yeah, so we have a clip of Kamala disposing with hecklers at one of the rallies in Wisconsin yesterday.
They would undo the protections of Roe v. Wade, and they did as he intended. Oh, you guys are at the wrong rally. You meant to go to the smaller one down the street.
It is so perfect. See, people are seeing the real Kamala now because we both know her. We've spent private time with her. She's funny. She's witty. She's got the gift of spontaneous wit. Yeah, yeah. And that but is that, what you
Well, remember
saw.
Last week, Donald Trump said in a California rally to a heckler, she should, quote, get the hell knocked out of her. So that's the difference between the candidates you're dealing with is...
humor that drops the mic versus literally violence
and
towards a female.
And any time she can make a reference to size.
Crowd size.
It's a good thing.
But this is why she should have gone to the dinner last night.
She was working in a swing state.
She did three rallies yesterday. Right, so she was in Green Bay, La Crosse, and Milwaukee, where the voters are. Yeah. New York.
Mark Cuban.
You all think the world revolves around New York. It doesn't.
Oh, my God.
You have the floor,
Joy. Mira, qué cosa. Eso es todo para el cerebro.
We're entering the final stretch here in what may be, people think it might be, who knows? Honestly, the most amazing thing is nobody knows if it will be the closest presidential race of the century. It is deeply personal, though. Harris unleashing a new line of attack in the final days, questioning Trump's low energy.
I've been hearing reports that his team, at least, is saying he's suffering from exhaustion. And that's apparently the excuse for why he's not doing interviews. And, of course, he's not doing the CNN town hall. He refuses to do another debate. And, you know, look, being president of the United States is probably one of the hardest jobs in the world. And so we really do need to ask if he's exhausted being on the campaign trail. Is he fit to do the job?
All right, that comment got under the former president's skin. He has responded not once, but twice.
I've gone 48 days now without a rest, and I've got that loser who doesn't have the energy of a rabbit. Tell me when you've seen me take even a little bit of a rest. Not only am I not, I'm not even tired. I'm really exhilarated. You know why? We're killing her in the polls.
We'll go through it pretty quick, Dale, and then I'm going over to make a little speech in front of 10,000 people. You think this is an easy life I have, right? I go from here. I say, am I finished? They say, no, sir, you have one more speech. Oh, good. Where is it?
Says he's exhilarated. So, meanwhile, Vice President Kamala Harris tonight addressing a question that continually comes up. That is, what would she have done differently than Joe Biden?
I mean, to be very candid with you, even including Mike Pence, vice presidents are not critical of their presidents. I think that really actually, in terms of the tradition of it and also just going forward, it does not make for a productive and important relationship.
Jane, you heard that back and forth between Harris and Trump on the energy issue. Politico reported that he canceled interviews because of exhaustion. So I just wanted to play a little bit more of his reaction to Harris's comments about that. Here he is.
What event did I cancel? I haven't canceled. She doesn't go to any events. She's a loser. She doesn't go to any events. She didn't even show up for the Catholics last night at the hotel. It was insulted. All they are is sound bites. So today I was at Fox and Friends at 7 in the morning. I then went to two different other appearances. I then made about 15 phone calls.
And you know, to be fair, he is doing a lot, right? He did go to the Al Smith dinner in New York last night. We were able to see him for the entire time that others were speaking. He was fully engaged. Harris sent that recorded video that we saw there. He did do that interview this morning, a roundtable this evening, a rally tonight. Is that not enough?
Well, I think given the fact that he fell asleep during an event today and the fact that his Fox and Friends interview featured... how can I put this? Some nonsensical statements. Now, granted, the thing with Donald Trump is that, like, this is what he's been like for a long time. But I will say that the energy issue, it's clear that it is annoying him. It is clear that Harris bringing that up has annoyed him as he keeps bringing it up. And it's interesting because there are specific things you can do to annoy him. One, accuse him of being low energy. And two, do something on Fox that he doesn't like. And this is, you know, this is now twice that this has taken place. So I do think it's clearly an issue for him, or else he wouldn't keep bringing it up.
Well, it is under his skin, Aaron, clearly. I mean, he's angered by it, which may be exactly why she's you know, sort of picking at that scab.
Well, in the land of reality, the dog won't hunt that Donald Trump doesn't have energy, right? I mean, what has he done? 59 interviews to Kamala Harris's 26 since she was announced. He's more than doubled her at this point. And he's doing multiple events a day. But that's what both candidates should be doing. The exception to the rule shouldn't be that there might be a scheduling snafu and that Trump's team might be trying to put things on the calendar that don't firm up because of other things on the schedule. It's a presidential campaign. Everybody should be out there. They should be doing doing three rallies a day. You should be doing multiple roundtable events. You should be doing radio interviews and local television pull-asides the entire time. Both candidates should do it. And I would argue, and I think the facts bear out, Donald Trump is doing a lot more of all of that than Kamala Harris is. And because she waited so long to try and engage voters and engage the media and talk through different outlets, that's why she's having to try to make up ground now, because she is slipping in the polls.
Now, Mark, she did do that interview with Fox this week that I know that, you know, Trump supporters found that say, oh, she didn't do well. Her supporters felt she walked into the lion's den and she fought back and she's on fire. And, you know, that's how they saw it very differently. But you know, everybody noticed that, including him. He noticed it. He brought it up at the Al Smith Center last night that she had done that interview. Does it bother him that she did that? I mean, because there's got to be a part of him that said, okay, the lion's den take on that, he would see it the same way.
I think he's happier with her responses that they're going to use in future ads. I think Aaron is right. What really is the thing that bothers him, or what you've mentioned that really bothers him, is the fact that he's being attacked on for his energy levels in the campaign trail. I ran the numbers. Since October 1st, the beginning of the month, in 18 days, he's done 28 events in 26 cities spread across 12 states. And when Kamala Harris says that he's hiding from the public and the press, that just drives him crazy. And she knows what she's doing, and so far it does seem to be working. He's swinging at every pitch.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. Some of this is just about getting under someone's skin. So, Karen, I want to ask you about one of those many appearances that Trump did. Today was an interview that aired today with the former professional wrestler and media personality Tyrus, and I wanted to play one exchange that everyone is talking about. Here it is.
We need to see that fathers are capable of great things, because we've dealt with it, especially in the last 3.5 years,
right,
a complete dismemberment of what it is to be a man. We're under attack for everything.
We are. Well, actually, manhood is under attack.
Yeah.
I see things that are so beautiful, and the next day I see them knocking the hell out of somebody for doing something that a day before I said, what a wonderful thing. No, we have to get back a little bit more.
Okay, Karen, I'll be honest. I don't really know what he was saying after the core point there, but he said manhood is under attack. Now, to be fair, that was in response to somebody who said a dismemberment of what it is to be a man, which let's just not take literally. But when he says manhood is under attack, is that effective with a certain group of voters? I mean, you know, you can say, okay, well, I didn't know Maxim made endorsements, the magazine, but they did come out and endorse Trump today.
Yeah, look, he believes that, and we saw this, you know, all the way back to 2016 when he would sort of, and frankly, years ago in the 80s, right, in New York, that was part of his swagger, right, that he was this kind of playboy. And that's kind of part of his definition of manhood. And that is something he has put forward time and time again. It's what that infamous, you know, you can grab him by the you know what was all about. At the same time, I think men are a lot smarter, most men, than Donald Trump. I should say the majority of American men. I think they're smart enough to know that he's a huckster and he's been trying to, you know, he's selling a shtick. They can either buy it or not. I think they're smart enough to know that the lives of their daughters and their sisters and their mothers, the women in their lives, are in danger by some of the, you know, by what Donald Trump would do. And I think they're smart enough to recognize that he is actually not going to be good for the bottom line, given that he's so into tariffs, which will increase inflation.
So, Mark, when Trump says, well, actually, manhood is under attack, you know, there are times that he does say things for hyperbole's sake or whatever, but it would actually seem this is one of those ones he actually means. I don't know. Is that what you understand it to be?
Yeah, that's a general belief in Republican and conservative circles. And that's a dividing line that we're seeing in this campaign, where there was a recent article in the Washington Post that accused the Trump campaign of being fueled by too much toxic masculinity. And the Trump campaign read that as essentially an attack on Trump for just standing up for men. This is one of these kind of men are from Mars and women are from Venus sort of campaigns that we're looking at.
Thanks for listening. And don't forget to...
this is God. Whenever I'm in Pittsburgh, which is always because I'm omnipresent, I listen to every radio station at the same time, including WRCT.
Welcome to Counterspin, your weekly look behind the headlines. I'm Janine Jackson. This week on Counterspin, you don't hear the phrase free market capitalism so much anymore, but the idea still tacitly undergirds much of what you do hear about why products and services are the way they are. We all know about corruption and cronyism, but we still accept that the company that wins, that corners the market, does so because people simply prefer what they sell. The anti-monopoly ruling against Google challenges that idea of how things work. We'll hear about it from Lee Heppner, senior legal counsel at the American Economic Liberties Project. Also on the show, a recent news report offered the familiar construction that the attacks of September 11th, 2001 plunged the U.S. into decades of war. Of course, that's not right. Choices were made, unpopular choices, about how to respond to the attacks. Choices were made to not bring assailants to trial for the crime, but instead to detain people without charge and hold them indefinitely in a prison designed to be outside U.S. law. None of it was inevitable. Now the defense secretary has stepped in to overturn plea agreements that, while they wouldn't have closed Guantanamo, would have brought some measure of closure to the cases against the alleged directors of the September 11th attacks. We'll get an update from Shaina Kadidal, senior managing attorney at the Center for Constitutional Rights. That's coming up, but first a quick look back at some recent press. With the presidential contest in full swing, the Sinclair Broadcast Group appears to be ramping up its right-wing propaganda again. While millions of Americans are subjected to the TV network's electioneering, few know it. That's because, as Pete Tucker details for Fair.org, Sinclair blends into the woodwork. So when you turn on your local news, you may well be watching a Sinclair station, even though on your screen it appears labeled as a major network, like CBS, NBC, or Fox. Millions of people tell pollsters they no longer trust the news media, but there's an exception. At least 6 years ago or so, 76% of Americans said they still